Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to today's episode of The Everyday Muslim, the program where we address the misconceptions on Islam, foster peaceful coexistence, and do our best to guide the everyday Muslim on this journey of Islam, guiding us all the way to Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. My name is Amin Adams, and I'll be the one in the driver's seat from now till noon, bi-iznallah. Today on the top, the topic we're looking at today on the show, inshallah ta'ala, is a very weighty one, subhanallah, and that's why we played to that song from Maher Zain. This person that he referred to, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one who embodies what we're looking at today. We're talking about integrity, the hallmark of good leadership and citizenship. And inshallah ta'ala, my guest to do justice to this is here with us. I'll introduce her in a minute. However, just a quick catch up. How have you been? How's your deen? How's Islam for you? How are you finding the journey? I just want to encourage us all. Subhanallah, it's a tough call. It's not particularly easy being here. However, because Allah has created us as humans, He has made us partners. He has made us, confidants, friends, awliya. We are, what do you call it? We're supposed to support each other. We're here to support each other. And so on this journey of Islam, we will all hold hands together, struggle together, strive together. The focus, which is Jannah and Bi'iznallah, will eventually end there. So today, inshallah, like I did say earlier, we're going to be looking at integrity. It is the hallmark of good leadership and citizenship. And our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam embodies all of this. We are not perfect. We're not like him. We cannot be like him, but we can continue to strive until our very last breath. My guest on the show today, Honorable Islamiyah Adeboale. She's a remarkable individual who wears multiple hats with grace and impact. As a broadcast journalist, she captivates audiences with her storytelling prowess, while her advocacy for women and children's rights reflects her unwavering dedication to social justice. As the initiator of the Womb Bearers Support Initiative, she actively empowers and protects women and girls, making a tangible difference in their lives. Honorable Islamiyah's leadership capacity is undeniable, evident in her roles within the Ansaruddin Society of Nigeria and the State Council of the Ansaruddin Youth Association. Her contributions have been acknowledged with esteemed awards, recognizing her vibrant and influential leadership. In the realm of politics, Hajja Islamiyah blazes trails as a woman active in politics. Her entrepreneurial spirit also shines through as the founder and CEO of Squafim Enterprise, a business venture encompassing health, fashion, and entertainment industries. Hajja Islamiyah's journey is a testament to passion, purpose, and the indomitable spirit of making a positive impact in the world. Honorable Islamiyah, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, sis. Network, please behave yourself today. She's joining us virtually for those of you that are just tuning in. It is The Everyday Muslim. And today, inshallah, we're going to be looking at integrity, the hallmark of good leadership and citizenship. Do you see we've put the two together so that you understand that the integrity we're talking about is not for just the leaders, but for the followers as well. So it's all of us that need to hold on tight to this top quality integrity. Hajja, are you here now? Honorable Islamiyah, we are waiting for you. I know you've been in and out a few times, subhanAllah. I pray that the network gets stable and we'll have a smooth sail. Meanwhile, I'll leave you with Maher Zain. Let's enjoy a bit more of the Nasheed. He is eulogizing the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah has enjoined upon all of us to send praises upon Nabi, and Maher Zain is encouraging us through this Nasheed. Let's join him and send praises upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض يا حبيب السلام عليك صلوات الله عليك. يرتوي بالحب قلبي حب خير رسل ربي من به أبصرت دربي يا شفيع يا رسول الله أيها المختار فينا زادنا الحب حنينا جئتنا بالخير دينا يا ختام
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman, don't give in to shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin. وخالقنا ورازقنا وهو عظيم. قدير. Allah is غفور, Allah is رحيم, Allah is the one who loves the محسنين. He is our creator, He is our sustainer, and He is the one who has power over all.
There's faith in my world. It comes back to your teachings and all your words. From your life I have learned to be patient and caring at every turn. The reason I'm strong, you're where I belong. In a world spinning out of control, the reason for my pride, you are my guide. And I will always follow your way, your way, your way. Oh, alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. Peace and blessings on you every day. Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. You inspire me in every way. I promise that wherever I go, whenever I pray, I'll be sending you praise with the words that I say, Rasulallah.
You taught me right from wrong. You told me to give to the poor and hungry. I need you to stay strong. You gave the light that I hold beside me. I feel the love when people call out your name. What would I do without you? I feel so ashamed. You kept smiling, you never did complain. In my heart and soul, you are.
You're welcome back. If you're just joining us, it's Everyday Muslim. And subhanAllah, today has been interesting. However, we must treat that integrity. That integrity matter that is giving us issues, we're going to have to treat it somehow. Our guest is struggling a bit at the moment, but we'll keep hope alive, right? Leadership in Islam, subhanAllah, Islamic culture encourages and supports a rich and complete way of life with guidance, both spiritual and secular, provided for every facet of the devotee's life. The Quran and the Sunnah are the two sources for the Islamic concept of the role of a leader. The Quran is the holy book of the religion of Islam, and the Sunnah describes the exemplary life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, largely understood through narration of his words and deeds, and this is called a hadith. So you'll have his companions, his children, his wives, those that lived around him with him at the time, documenting his entire life. And that's what we now work with as a practical. You know how you're in school, you learn the theory and there's a practical side. So the theory is the Quran, subhanAllah. Allah has sent the Quran in words, and then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent to us to practicalize the what the words that Allah has communicated in the Quran. Whilst I still wait for Hajia Islamia to join us so we can treat this topic, more on leadership in Islam. The Holy Quran is universally honored by Muslims who identify passages that are pertinent and influential to their lives. Leadership is a tenet that is highly emphasized in Islamic life and is embodied in the pillar of accountability. Indeed, the Prophet in the hadith states, each of you is a guardian and is responsible for his subject. SubhanAllah, let me take you quickly, see how coordinated and structured Islam is. SubhanAllah, you have two, three people gathered. Islam expects that within that three, somebody has to be the leader. Not all of us, all blind and no guidance, no structure, no organization. So we have to select a leader, even if we're just three. If you're just two of you, there's a leader, subhanAllah. And that's how organized this is. So the understanding what leadership means is very, very key. This form of multi-level leadership is highly encouraged in Islam. The operational principles that should be applied by Muslim leaders include the exercise of justice, fulfillment of trust, observance of righteousness, perseverance in doing what is right, and honoring promises. This is a quote by Bikum in 1999. The model of Islamic leadership has four dimensions: consciousness of God, competency, consultation, and consideration. They call this the 4C model, and we'll look more into details inshallah ta'ala. But the topic for today, we're looking at integrity. We're looking at it from the leadership perspective, as well as the citizenship is a hallmark of, you know, a good leader, and we want to look at that in more details. I hope we have been able to connect with Hajia now. Honorable Islami Adeboale, I hope that your network is cooperating now. If you are still struggling, we're also trying our best to get across to you somewhat. Let me share a bit more with you about this person called Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in whom, you know, we are an average Muslim. Every Muslim, as a matter of fact, struggles, strives to follow in his path. Every Muslim wakes up desiring to be like him, male or female. And even though we know that it's a big deal to walk in his shoes, he was a perfect human being, subhanAllah. However, we know we can't be, so we continue to strive until our very last breath. In his first address as the head of Islamic State, this is one of his immediate our past predecessors. Nabi Sallam's immediate deputy, shall I say, when Nabi Sallam left us, he left us with Abu Bakr. So the Caliph Abu Bakr told the Ummah, when he assumed the role of leadership, he was the first caliphate right after Nabi Sallam's exit from this world. So when Abu Bakr took hold, when he took the mantle of leadership, the first address he gave to the Muslim Ummah, hear this. And I'm quoting from his address: "I have been chosen to rule over you, though I am not the best among you. Help me if I am right. Correct me if I am wrong. The weak among you will be strong until I have attained for him his due. And the strong among you will be weak until I have made him give what he owes. Obey me as long as I obey Allah and his prophet. And if I do not obey them, you owe me no obedience." Subhanallah. Let that sink in. This is from a fellow human being, right? He was given the mantle of leadership to lead the entire Muslim Ummah right after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can you imagine the shoes he stepped into, subhanAllah? Can you imagine how weighty the burden of leading this entire Ummah was for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? May Allah be pleased with him and all our pious predecessors. This is a remarkable statement for any leader to make. You know, with it, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu defines a social contract with the citizens. So he's setting the pace. He's telling you, you know, first things first is your Lord, who's your creator and my creator. That's the person we owe all allegiance. Then the Prophet before me. And you only owe me any allegiance subject to if I'm following this path. If I'm not following this path, you don't owe me any obedience. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How many of our leaders today can toe this path? How many of our leaders can dare to, you know, make themselves vulnerable before the citizenry? How many of our leaders can show that, subhanAllah, I'm submitting myself to your servitude? Who among our leaders today is doing that, is towing that path? And this is what we should be looking out for with the citizenry. These are the kind of qualities we should be looking out for in our leaders, not the ones who impose themselves on us and the ones who, you know, brandish their tyrannic coats, you know, on us. Now, away from just remarkable statement, let's see other things. Let's try to dissect this speech from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The first point is, you know, Abu Bakr himself accepting position of leader with remarkable humility. You know, let's take this quote: "I have been chosen to rule over you, though I am not the best among you." This is not an ordinary leader. You know, he carries the title. This is someone that he was, you know, called As-Siddiq, the truthful one, subhanAllah, and yet he's submitting himself to the entirety of the Ummah. Abubakar defines the basic principles of leadership. He acknowledges that he is just one of a number of companions of the Prophet, meaning that so many of you are equally as good and could have taken, you know, been chosen to occupy the seat. He acknowledges his peer and everybody else, all, you know, all of whom have worthy qualities. However, he's the one that has been burdened with this leadership role. Being selected as their leader doesn't make him a better Muslim or a better person, but it confers a heavy responsibility. And I think this is something that is critical for all of our leaders to understand, be it in the home, you know, our husbands, the wives and their children, at the workplace, employer-employee relationships. You are in this position of leadership, it does not automatically make you owner of my soul, subhanAllah. It doesn't automatically make you you know, ruler of me. It first and foremost confers a responsibility on you. And when we understand that, when we see it from that perspective, that this leadership role is indeed that of responsibility, I hope that you know, I actually know that it does make it all different. It changes our perspective. It changes how we approach things, right? And so this is me imploring every one of us listening right now to start to think from that perspective. When you wear a coat of leadership, when you step into a leadership position, the first thing that should strike you is, subhanAllah, this is a huge burden. This is a responsibility that I'm taking on. Secondly, he defines governance as an ongoing relationship between the leader and the led. Leadership creates duties for the citizens as well as obligations on the leaders. Look at the choice of words, subhanAllah. I'll take it again, right? So governance is an ongoing relationship. Every now and again, the leaders and the led are, you know, in this union together. Leadership creates the duties for citizens. So we as citizens have a duty to perform, whilst our leaders have an obligation towards us. When you know that, you know peace. Now help me if I'm right. Correct me if I am wrong. I'm referring to the speech I read earlier, the speech of Abubakar radiallahu anhu. Again, he's coming back to show how vulnerable he is. He is leveling up with every single one of us. Look, we are all equal before Allah. All of us, you know, sawao sawao, and at the same level we all did, right? So I am humbling myself before you to know that I'm equally vulnerable. I don't want to be in the court of Allah. I want to be in this court first, summoned to this court to right all wrongs before I'm called upon by Allah to face him. So he's telling you, help me if I am right, correct me if I am wrong, right? And this is, you know, showing that we're in this together. It's a participatory relationship and it has important consequences. Citizens are not just the governed, right? The public are engaged. They are active participants. And let us examine the prerequisites that are necessary in this system. One requirement is transparency on the part of leadership. Open government, if you like, you know. The public needs to know what their leader is up to. And when you think about it, if the public needs to know, so apart from them sharing the information, are you even looking out for this information? Are you concerned about what your leader is doing? Are you bothered? When was the last time you checked on your House of Rep? When was the last time you checked on your constituency members? When was the last time you sent an email to, you know, the person representing you at FCT to say, hey guy, you know, this is not what I sent you there to do? Who is bothering to check on them? Who's putting them on their toes? Are you doing anything? Because you are equally, you know, your complacence is also what is making him grow thicker skin towards feeling your pain. As a matter of fact, if you're not contributing to the process, then you can't complain about what is going on. So them being transparent and sharing information, are you even seeking out that information to even know, oh come on, the information you're giving me is wrong, this was the amount that was announced that was given to you, you're only accounting for a quarter of it, where's the remaining three quarters? So transparency, it's a two-way thing, right? He's sharing information. Are you looking out for that information? Are you questioning? Are you critiquing that information? We need to start to see ourselves as in a relationship. It's a union. It's a marriage. The earlier we know that, the better, right? So we're still looking at some of the, we're extraying the speech of Abubakar Radiallahu Anhu. For those of you just joining us, is the Everyday Muslim. I know you're wondering, why am I hearing just one way traffic, just one voice, right? My guests are struggling. SubhanAllah, the internet has chosen today of all days to block me from my guests. However, we're going to have a beautiful show, and we're looking at integrity. It was meant to be our topic for discussion for today, and our guest, Hajjah Islamiya, is in and out every now and again. So we're still waiting for her to get a stable network, and that's why we went back. Think about it, we're supposed to be talking about integrity from the perspective of the leadership and the citizenry. So this is just prepping your mind to understand what leadership is in Islam, how we role in this space as Muslims, how we embrace leadership, who we are when we are leaders, you know. And that's why first and foremost we see leadership as a responsibility, as a burden on us when we're given that role to lead. And so if every single person out there saw it from that perspective, it will be a lot easier and better. And secondly, we also saw the role that the citizens have to play. They have a lot of duties towards the leadership, while the leadership have obligations towards us. And so while the leaders have to be transparent, you, the citizenry, are you able to critique what they are presenting to you? Are you interested? Are you even getting involved in what's going on? Are you just taking this, you know, back seat and saying, let them do their thing when they're done? When they are done, 4 years is a very long time. Things can really, really go bad if you don't get involved, right? So the public needs to know what their leader is up to. Now, another requirement is an informed public, right? It isn't sufficient for government to be transparent, a rather passive state of affairs. Someone or something needs to keep the public actively informed. Then there must be a mechanism or mechanisms, if you'll say, that enables citizens to engage with their ruler, question them, discuss with them, you know, share knowledge with them. The leaders don't know it all. We, the citizens, some of us are even better experts in certain fields. So there's going to be that room for us to constantly engage with our rulers. And in that bit, we get better at it. So let's call it accountability. The third part of his statement, and we're referring to the statement made by Abubakar Radiallahu Anhu. He was the first caliph. He took over leadership of the Muslim Ummah right after the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so his speech is public knowledge, it's public information. You can Google it and you know, analyze it as we are doing right now. So the third part of the speech that Abubakar Radiallahu Anhu made, he focused on delivery of social justice, the central concern of Islam. And in his quote, he said, "The weak among you will be strong until I have attained for him his due. And the strong among you will be weak until I have made him give what he owes." A just and cohesive society cannot be maintained in the face of glaring inequalities, whether in economic resources or access to services. For instance, zakah is a tax on wealth to help the less fortunate. Something that Abubakar found fought to maintain it, because subhanAllah, an incident happened after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died when Abubakar went around to collect zakah, and some people decided that they paid zakah as long as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive. Now he's gone, they don't need to pay zakah anymore. Subhanallah, Abubakar fought arduously to ensure that no, it is an injunction from Allah, you will obey it as you obeyed it in time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will obey it till the end of time. And he fought that battle, alhamdulillah for that. Incidentally, some of us are so careless. If I put up a poll now and ask you when was the last time you paid zakah, or if you've even paid zakah in your life, I don't even want to imagine what the numbers will look like. But that is something that a lot of us are dropping the ball on. So he fought the fight for us. I'll take a break, play you some Nasheed, come back, and let's extra more. I'll open the phone lines when I come back. When I open the phone lines, you tell me what you understand leadership to mean. Tell me how you find our leaders today. Tell me your contribution as a citizen to this leadership, or to this union, as it were. We'll see you soon, inshallah. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
نور الله فجر ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء. أنت في الوجدان حي، أنت للعينين ضي، أنت عند الحوض ري، أنت هاد وصفي. يا حبيبي يا محمد، يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك، يا حبيب سلام عليك، صلوات الله عليك. يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك، يا حبيب سلام عليك، صلوات الله عليك. حب قلبي، حب خير رسل ربي، من به أبصرت دربي، يا شفيع يا رسول الله، أيها المختار فينا، زادنا الحب حنينا، جئتنا بالخير دينا، يا ختام المرسلين. يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك، يا حبيب سلام عليك، صلوات الله عليك. يا نبي سلام عليك، يا رسول سلام عليك، يا حبيب سلام عليك،
if you're just joining us, is Everyday Muslim right here on WFM 91.7. For those of you that have never met us on this show before, it's your first time, you're welcome, welcome, welcome. Alhamdulillah. You can catch up on all of our previous episodes on our website, www.mpac-ng.org. I'll take that again. It's www.mpac-ng.org. www.ng.org/everydaymuslim. All of our episodes are loaded there and you can catch up. And this as well, inshallah, will be uploaded. So today our topic was meant to be integrity, the hallmark of leadership and citizenship. However, our guest has struggled all through. SubhanAllah, the networks have frustrated her today. But then again, Allah plans, we plan, and Allah is the best of planners, and it has gone the way it is. So you listening right now can be a part of the show. We have been talking about someone that embodied the entirety of what we're supposed to be talking about today. He is, when you talk about integrity and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they work together, you know, interchangeably, subhanAllah, interchange. However, next week, bi'iznillah, all things being equal, we will treat that topic in full details as she's fully prepared for it. So we'll bring her back, inshallah. Things will be straightened up by then. However, today we went down memory lane. We looked into history. Yes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a perfect example. However, those that followed him did the same thing. They followed in his examples. And we're looking at our first caliph, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Anhu, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the first caliph. He took over the mantle of leadership right after the death of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want to open the phone lines now, but before I do, I want to read his speech, just an extract of his speech very quickly. The very first speech he gave to the Muslims, that's what we're x-raying. And just before the break, we've looked at it from, you know, broken his speech into bits and digested it. So before I share the last portion of it with you, I'm just going to quickly refresh the speech that Caliph Abu Bakr gave to his Ummah when he took mantle of leadership. I have been chosen to rule over you. Though I am not the best among you, help me if I am right, correct me if I am wrong. The weak among you will be strong until I have attained for him his due, and the strong among you will be weak until I have made him give what he owes. Obey me as long as I obey Allah and his prophets. If I do not obey him, you owe me no obedience. That was the remarkable speech the first caliph gave to the Ummah when he took mantle of leadership. Number to call to be a part of today's show, 07000-917-917. I'll take that again. 07000-917-917. Once you call, tell me your name, where you're calling us from, and just chip in. What are the qualities you expect of your leaders? You as a citizen, what are your roles? What duties do you owe? And how are you carrying out those duties? That's what I want to look at. Let's be real. You know, it's one thing to sit and, you know, point fingers and say this person is not doing his job, that person is a bad leader, that. You call you that you're listening right now, how good a citizen are you? How are you checking up on your leaders? How do you correct them? You know, let's x-ray what Abu Bakr said to the Ummah when he took leadership. So looking at the last portion, the very last sentence in his speech, obey me as long as I obey Allah and his prophets. If I do not obey them, do not obey me. It's simple. You owe me no obedience. Now, his authority derives from his implementation of the commands of a higher authority. This is the framework in which the Islamic polity operates. So long as he fulfills his end of the bargain, he deserves support and loyalty. If he deviates, he can expect to be held to account by his citizens. Now, what are your thoughts? You have heard from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You didn't meet him. I didn't meet him, but we met his words, and that's what we are looking at right now. How do you connect with your leaders? What roles? How do you check on them? How do you critique their how they're handling the affairs of whatever states that you've put them in charge of, whatever House of Reps, you know, how are you monitoring their work? You as a citizen, what is your role? Now, SubhanAllah, Islam is a perfect religion. It covers everything. And the source of Islamic values is the Quran and the Sunnah, for the best part of it. The Quran calls to citizen patriotism. God Almighty instructs Muslims to follow and obey the Prophet Muhammad SAW in all matters and circumstances. And the last verse I said in the Quran, in chapter 3 of Noble Quran, verse 31, if you would like to revisit chapter 3 verse 31. You can just type Quran 331 online and it will pop this up for you. O Muhammad, this is Allah speaking to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me, so Allah will love you and forgive you and your sins. So once you follow me, Allah will love you in return and he will forgive you your sins. That's what Allah said to us through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Now if you look at this verse, chapter 3 verse 31, every Muslim is expected to follow the Sunnah of Prophet in every walk of life. So nothing is left out. It's not as if you cherry pick. One time you're following this, the other time, nah, I am on my own, I can follow my desires. That's not a Muslim. A Muslim completely submits to the will of Allah and follows the teachings of the Quran and the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his practice. Islam calls to the respect of the dignity of other citizens and their rights. It promotes the spirit of common brotherhood and good neighborliness, obedience to law and order, political participation, and protection of public property. These are enshrined in Islam. Now, this takes us to a crucial aspect of citizenship, what we call patriotism. Patriotism is love and attraction for the motherland. It's a great sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet used to love Mecca, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He used to love Mecca because it was his motherland. That was his birthland, right? He loved his birthplace, the city of Mecca. And he taught us how to love the motherland. And that's why, you know, when as a Muslim and a Nigerian, there's nothing wrong with saying, I love Nigeria. Excuse me. I love Nigeria. I love my motherland. There's nothing wrong. We found that example in our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? At the time of emigration, when he left Mecca, when he was persecuted and he had to, you know, at least get to a place of security where his life and lives of all the Muslims were safe. So they had to emigrate. And during this time, at the time of emigration to Medina, another city in Saudi Arabia, you know, two top cities, Mecca and Medina, you hear them used regularly. So he said to the city of Mecca, were it not that my people expelled me from you, I will not live anywhere besides you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So don't blame us. We that were diehard Nigerians, we found an example in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abdurrahman bin Auf narrated that Abdullah bin Aidi bin Hamra said to him, I saw the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, when he was on his she camel, standing in Hazwara, a place in Mecca, saying, by Allah, you are the best land of Allah and the dearest of the lands of Allah to me. By Allah, had I not been expelled from you, I will never leave. Subhanallah. And this is contained in Ibn Majah, so you can get this quote. If you pick up one of the books of Hadith, Ibn Majah, you'll find this quote there. After migrating to Medina, the Prophet, peace be upon him, loved Medina, but he never forgot his homeland. He never forgot his motherland, Mecca. Uhud is a famous mountain of Medina. The Prophet, peace be upon him, loved Uhud very much, and the people of Medina also loved it. Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, said that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, Uhud is a mountain which loves us, and we love it. And this is just to reemphasize the love for your motherland. So, you listening right now, how many times have you professed and confessed your love for your motherland? You think it's a mistake that you are here? No, Allah never makes mistakes. It was well planned and orchestrated. Allah chose you to be a Nigerian. He could have made you from any other nation in the world, but no, he chose you to be a Nigerian because you have a role to play. You have a function. You have the virtue. You have a purpose to fulfill being a Nigerian. So reconnect to that. Otherwise, you're owing and you will pay because you are not just here to pass time. You are here to fulfill a purpose. And until you connect with that purpose, you haven't lived your time. Subhanallah. So if you're just hearing this for the first time, start to love your motherland. It's real. You are a Nigerian in flesh, in blood, in everything, DNA. This is your motherland. If you like, jackpot to anywhere. Ajole, dabile, so says the Yoruba, yeah? You can be anywhere in the world, nowhere, there's no place like home. So home is Nigeria. Nigeria is your home. Be patriotic. Confess and profess your love of your motherland. And something you love, you wouldn't want it to waste away. Something you love so dearly, you wouldn't want it to get destroyed. So hopefully if the love in your heart starts to transcend, then your character would also fall in line and things will start to look better. And all of us together loving Nigeria and wanting the best for Nigeria start to act right and be right, and then eventually that Nigeria of our dreams will become a reality. Now, the honest truth is that Islam has ordered its followers to love their homeland in which they live or grew up. Yeah, it's a Muslim's duty to protect his homeland from any attack. Protecting the state of Medina was one of the major articles of the character of the charter, I beg your pardon, one of the articles of the charter of Medina. The constitution of Medina. Bear in mind that when the Nabi Sallam and his companions moved from Mecca to Medina, there were inhabitants there. There were people that were originally the Medinites, right? The people that owned and lived in Medina, that was their own heritage. That was their own motherland. Just like Nabi's motherland is Mecca, there were people that were born and raised and all their generations were from Medina. So they came and met people there, and of course he's now the leader of the entirety of the people in Medina, and that's how come a constitution came about. And think about it, how I think we should all really just sit in one place and study how Prophet Islam handled the affairs in Medina when he became the leader of a multicultural, multi-religious group. Because wallahi, that is a perfect example to copy and paste in the case of Nigeria, because we're dealing with pretty much the same thing that the Prophet dealt with. I do really hope that you could just put one call. Come on, one call. Somebody should support me now. Not only my voice. I know you're loving my voice. Me too. I want to hear your voice as well. 07000 917 917, and you'll be a part of the show. Alternatively, you can send us an SMS or WhatsApp message to 070-317-56537. 070-317-56537, and you'll be a part of the show. Yeah, back to me reminding us that Islam has enjoined upon us, the followers, you call yourself a Muslim, you have a duty to love your motherland. You have a duty to protect your motherland. Now, just referring to the constitution in Medina when Prophet got there. That's why I did a quick flashback. By the way, the people in Medina before he joined, the people of different faiths. There were the Jews, the Christians, the idol worshippers, and of course now the Muslims. So how did he rule over them? They drew up a constitution that will guide and bind them. So the Muslim and the Jews will be jointly responsible to defend the state of Medina against any outside attack. That was something that was agreed upon in the constitution. So there's no brainer. Protecting the motherland from any kind of attack is a great act of worship. Thankfully, I have a message. A few messages. Okay, someone says Salam Alaikum, Salam Barakatuh. You're still typing. All right, I'll wait. Good morning, WFM. Good topic you have there. But the leaders of today, taking Nigeria as example, and the present administration, citizens complain about the purchase of yacht, SUV, etc. But what has happened? They went ahead to buy. What can we do in such a case? Thank you for the program. And this is from Rahma. Thank you so much, Rahma. Alhamdulillah. I think a few more messages are coming through. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning, madam. Are Islamic values compatible? Are Islamic values compatible with the demand of the constitution on the duties of Nigerian citizens? Yes. You didn't put your name, so I don't even know who this is. But yes, Islamic values are compatible with the demand. So like I did mention, you just heard me read out the constitution in Medina that was drawn up between the citizens there. So I hope I understood your question. Let me go back to your question. Are Islamic values compatible with the demand of constitutional duties of Nigerian citizens? It's a bit plenty words for me, but in what I understand is, yes, in my understanding, Islamic values are compatible with the demand of a constitution. We need to have a constitution that binds us as citizens of this country, that spells out the do's and don'ts. Yes, we do need to have a constitution. We do have a constitution, and what we need to do as Muslims is to abide by the laws of the land. If we have reservations about what's contained in the constitution, there are channels, legal channels to follow to air our voices, right? That's why we have our representatives here and there. We can pass it through them and say, this constitution, this part of the constitution is not working for us. Can we look to review it? So yes, to your question, yes, the answer is yes. Somebody else has said, may Allah continue to increase your knowledge. I love today's program and the topic. And this is coming from Suleiman. Thank you so much. That's quite heartwarming. Jazakumullah khairan. Definitely next week, bi-iznillah, I promise that we will revisit the topic, because it's a topic close to my heart. The integrity being the hallmark of leadership and citizenship. We need to take that, we need to x-ray that word. We need to get schooled about integrity, so we know the implication of us or what we are doing wrong to make Nigeria what it is today. So that hopefully, if every single one of us that listen to this show next week, bi-iznillah, and understand what integrity is, makes a commitment to dot I's, cross T's, become that person that embodies integrity, hopefully we will conquer the world, not just Nigeria. So on that note, I'd like to sign out for today. It's been a pleasurable, beautiful moment sharing with you today. I sincerely apologize. I know my sis is on the line. She literally hanged on all through and kept trying to be a part of the show. Hajja Islamiyah, Allah's will has come to pass. Next week, bi-iznillah, we will do everything humanly possible to try and get you on the show, inshallah. Until then, I'll leave you with Maher Zain. Continue to send blessings upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You get rewarded for it. We'll get rewarded for making you do that. We'll see you next week, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Have a lovely weekend. And my name is Amina Adams. And don't forget to say a prayer for the entire crew that made it work. My lower button, as your Raz will say, pressing everything and making sure it was flowing, the sound engineer, and of course, the entirety of the MPAC management and WFM. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week, inshallah. Ma'asalam.